This is the Daily Perspective Podcast for Monday, January 11th, 2021. Hello, welcome aboard. Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and a bit of absurdity. Hoping your weekend was good, that you unplugged, you regained some sanity. Maybe I should go regain my power of speech, and that things are better today than they were for you Friday. I really can't say as much because I didn't follow my own directions. So over the weekend, I was scanning the news. We're going through a time right now in this nation's history when the story of this nation, when there is a great deal of upheaval and some things that many have predicted would happen are beginning to, or actually are happening. And so over the weekend, I found myself sucked into all kinds of things. And I have a bunch of stories that I won't get to today, but I'll get to as many as I can. Also, I have a 10:30 outside session today. So as I record this morning at 8 a.m. Central, I'm a bit pressed for time. So I will do my best to get this processed and uploaded to the host as soon as possible this morning. If not, it'll be this afternoon. And since you're listening to it now, that means it got uploaded. I just don't know if it happened in the morning or the afternoon because Mr. Peabody won't let me use his time machine, the Wayback Machine, since the incident. I'm looking at a bunch of different things that the incident. Come on. I got nothing here. Nothing. Okay, fine. Thank you very much. It's a Monday edition of the podcast. No Facebook Live today. I just, you know, I'm so disgusted with Facebook, and I'm disgusted with Twitter, and I'm disgusted with social media in general, that this morning I didn't even feel like jumping through the hoops to make the Facebook Live happen. Because, to be honest with you, I'm looking at the numbers, and if you are one of the tiny handful of people that jump into the Facebook Live every day, I apologize for not being there today, but they have been squelching my reach and making it further and further, go further and further away. So now I've got like 30% of the reach I used to have on Facebook because they're fascists, and they have determined that since I insist on sharing information that they insist is not true, even though it's all backed up, it's all there, that I should not be allowed to share information. So I'm just not going to use them as a portal anymore. I'm just not for this, not for the podcast. I will continue to post there. I will continue to post to, I'm doing some posting on Twitter, but I'm getting really close to pulling the plug on that. Me pulling the plug on Twitter is not going to hurt them at all. They're not even going to feel it. It's just nothing, not going to happen. But I do use Twitter to gather information, and it's a good source for gathering all kinds of information because people tend to be a little more honest when they can't see your face. And so I do glean some insight from Twitter. So I'm going to keep it around for a while. And I was using Parler, and Parler went dark at midnight last night. If you check right now, you'll see if you've got the app on your phone or your mobile device of any kind and you try to access Parler, what happens is the little icon just spins. It just spins. It's just not there. If you try to go online, you come up with an error message that particular website isn't found. So Amazon pulled the plug on Parler last night. And what is there left? There's MeWe, which is kind of weird. I can't wrap my brain around MeWe, even though I try to keep it updated. There's something about MeWe that doesn't. None of these work as easily as Facebook or Twitter. And that's one of the issues. That's one of the issues with people migrating. They're trying their best to make it happen, but it's so unfamiliar that people are hesitant. They want to stay with what they're comfortable with. What else is there? There's Clout Hub. I logged into Clout Hub. I looked around. I set up an account. It looks kind of like Facebook. Maybe it operates like Facebook. I don't know. We'll have to see. And I don't know where Clout Hub is actually coming from, even though they've got a lot of Americana on their homepage. I'm suspicious of everything now. I just am. So that's where we are. I'm at a loss as to what to do right now, but I'm going to keep on doing what I'm doing because I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to go hide in a cave just because the left is now in power and they're going to double down and do everything they can to keep anybody who is a right-thinking, rational, sane American from having a piece of government ever again. And they're going to keep putting people out front, sociopaths like Nancy Pelosi. Yes, I called her a sociopath. Go look it up. She's a sociopath, and she is doing everything she can to blame the evils of the world on the people who've actually been trying to fix them, because they're harshing the leftist buzz, and that just can't happen. So, I ain't anyway, stories today to get into, things to talk about, developments happening. As I said, I've got a session afterwards this morning. I've got a meeting today with someone who I'm working with on a website, a lunch meeting, and I'm hoping to have some more information about that I can't really talk about at all. Hoping to have some more information about that in the very near future. It's another place where my voice will be heard. So let's just put it that way. And to the point, it's another place my voice will be heard. So we'll see how that pans out. Let's step back, flip the pages back to last week, shall we? On the 6th, thousands upon thousands of people gathered in Washington, D.C. at President Trump's bequest, at his request, they gathered in Washington, D.C. for the purpose of showing their numbers and encouraging the indecisive to realize that the American people believe that this election was rigged and that something needed to be done to stop the Democrats from gaining power again because they did it dishonestly. That was the intent, the purpose of the gathering, and that was the content of the speech made by the president at that gathering. Less than a week has passed since the Capitol riot, and the Democratic Party and the establishment media, big tech, are now presenting it as axiomatic that President Donald Trump incited the mob for the purpose of preventing the electoral vote certification and presumably grabbing dictatorial powers. Now, this is the lunatic claim of the left, that he was going to prevent electoral vote certification. The goal was to stop an illicit certification of the vote, because it was very clear from everything we've seen that there was some serious funny business going on, and it needs to be investigated rather than certified, because it's important to the American people to know that their vote actually does count for something and that the system is not rigged. That's why. And this claim about grabbing dictatorial powers, well, if that's not projection, nothing is, because this is what the left actually is going for, even though on the surface they deny it. Republican Senators Pat Toomey and Lisa Murkowski have joined the calls for Trump to either resign or face a second impeachment. Even Ted Cruz has said that Trump's rhetoric certainly contributed to the violence that occurred. That's disappointing from Ted Cruz, to be honest with you. I think Ted should actually go back and read what the president really said, because it's just not there. But before the lynch mob gets the noose ready and hangs the president from the nearest tree, it would be useful to step back and make sure he really did what everyone seems to be sure he was guilty of doing, that he actually did incite the crowd at the Capitol to violence for the purpose of staging a coup. Now, Trump's speech, the part of his speech that supposedly incited the mob, there's a link. It will be available by the time you hear this. It will be up at linkreport.us. All of the show notes will be there. Link report, one word, linkreport.us. Excuse me. At the end of that, he said, his speech, he said this. These are his words. So we're going to walk down Pennsylvania Avenue. I love Pennsylvania Avenue. And we're going to the Capitol, and we're going to try to give, the Democrats are hopeless. They're never going to vote. They're never voting for anything, not even one vote. But we're going to try and give our Republicans, the weak ones, because the strong ones don't need any of our help. We're going to try to give them the kind of pride and boldness that they need to take back our country. So let's walk down Pennsylvania Avenue. I want to thank you all. God bless you, and God bless America. Thank you all for being here. This is incredible. Thank you very much. Thank you. Now, you may have noticed that there is nothing there, or in any part of his speech, if you go read the rest of it, calling on the crowd to storm the Capitol, or to overthrow the government, or to do anything but walk down Pennsylvania Avenue and encourage lawmakers to support the president. The case for the claim that Trump incited the mob rests on the proposition that he didn't have to spell out what he wanted them to do. When he detailed his reasons for believing that the 2020 presidential election was stolen, that was enough to inflame these people sufficiently to storm the Capitol. However, assuming that the crowd would have remained peaceful were it not for Trump's criticism of the election is to take an extremely dangerous path. To take for granted, as many do today, that Trump incited violence by criticizing the election is to commit the classic logical fallacy of post hoc ergo propter hoc. After this, therefore caused by this. It opens the door for criticism of anyone or anything to be labeled dangerous and inciting of violence and silenced accordingly. Sound familiar? Tyrants and would-be tyrants can silence criticism of their rule by claiming that their opponents, by engaging in that criticism, are inciting and inviting violence. And that is exactly what we're seeing from the left today. The path that the Democrat Party and Big Tech are taking leads straight to the silencing of the powerless by the powerful and the criminalization of political dissent, one of the foundational stones of our republic. And so, all Americans should have these days be insisting, where and how exactly did President Trump incite the mob? Where did he say that the crowd should storm the Capitol and disrupt the electoral vote certification? If he didn't say this, then he's not guilty of incitement. And to claim that he is threatens the very foundations of America as a free society. There's an important precedent for this insistence on specific evidence. 1846, May 11th of 1846, President James K. Polk told Congress that Mexican troops had invaded our territory and shed the blood of our fellow citizens on our own soil. The soil in question was actually between the Nueces and Rio Grande Rivers in Texas, which at the time was disputed territory. And so a young Whig congressman named Abraham Lincoln introduced into the House the Spot Resolutions, taking issue with Polk's claim that Mexican forces had killed Americans within the United States, and asking the president to specify at what spot they actually did so. Lincoln found the support for Polk's claims wanting, stating that the president could not deny, and had not denied, that the American troops had actually been the aggressors, and declared that the war with Mexico was unnecessarily and unconstitutionally commenced. Lincoln's resolutions were ignored, and another future president, Ulysses S. Grant, who fought in the Mexican War, stated in 1879, quote, "I do not think there was ever a more wicked war than that waged by the United States on Mexico." In 1885, he wrote that the Mexican War was one of the most unjust ever waged by a stronger against a weaker nation. That war started a frenzy of righteous anger that was so strong that no one bothered to check, as Lincoln requested, to see if the claims upon which it was based were true. Now, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer are planning to impeach and remove President Trump in the waning days of his administration, and therefore they hope stigmatize and marginalize both him and his movement forever. But it's useful again to ask, when and how exactly did he do what they accuse him of doing? It's a question which we must ask today. The answer to that question is he did not. And they are lying.
Someone very profoundly once said, many years ago that if fascism ever comes to America, it'll come in the name of liberalism. And what is fascism? Fascism is private ownership, private enterprise, but total government control and regulation. Well, isn't this the liberal philosophy? The conservative, so-called, is the one that says, less government, get off my back, get out of my pocket, and let me have more control of my own destiny.
Fascism. It's not on the horizon anymore. It's on our doorstep. And the liberal, progressive Democrats are practicing fascism every day. They point fingers at us and accuse us of fascism and form groups which perform acts of violence and say that they're anti-fascist. But they've learned long ago to label what they want to demonize as appropriately. And as such, they have labeled what we do as fascism when actually they are the fascists. And right now, the fascists are trying to erase part of our history, just like we heard in this before about what happened with the actual record of what happened with the Mexican-American War. It was started over something that didn't actually happen because somebody wanted a war. And right now, we're watching people like Nancy Pelosi, that evil woman, Nancy Pelosi, screeching that we must erase Donald Trump from office before the end of his term. It's going to be, what is it, today's the 11th, and so in 9 days, just a touch over a week from now, there will be an inauguration, and President Trump will be gone. But Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats want to do so much damage to President Trump that people will doubt him from now on. And they want, if they can, to prevent him from being able to run for office ever again. And that is what they're trying to do. They're trying to not only do that to him, but they're trying to do that to us as conservative people who think conservative thoughts. They're trying to marginalize and erase us from society, to make it unacceptable to think the way that we do. This has precedent in human history. You can look back to ancient Egypt as an example. In fact, today, maybe you should spend a little time looking up to Pharaoh, looking up Pharaoh Akhenaten of Egypt. Akhenaten made a lot of enemies, because he was convinced that there were not many gods, and Egypt was all about a lot of gods. If you look at Egyptian history, if you look at what we have discovered about them over the years, we have learned there were sun gods, there were moon gods, there were water gods, there were land gods, there were gods about everything. And as a result, there was a priesthood who guided people through this pantheistic worship, and they were very powerful and very influential. And when Akhenaten decided that there should only be one god, a god of the sun, and changed everything, he upset an apple cart that ended up removing him from history. Well, if he was removed from history, how can we know about him now? It's because we found out about him just in the last century. 1907, KV-55. They uncovered him and didn't know who he was. Because after he died, the priests scrubbed every inkling of his existence. They chiseled his name off of walls and temples and buildings everywhere. They eliminated his face from his statues. They scrubbed him from history so effectively that we didn't know he existed until 1907, well into the time we had been looking into Egypt and learning much about it. So those in power will do what they can to change the record of history, if they can. And we're watching that happen right now. Social media is changing. I don't know if you got up this morning and noticed that you checked your Parler account, like I mentioned earlier, but it's not there. And at one point, the CEO of Parler was saying, hey, this is not a big deal. We've got, you know, we've been kind of preparing for this. We just weren't completely prepared for it. So about a week from now, we'll be back up again. Well, since he made that statement, everybody who has had anything to do with support, as in lawyers and web hosts and everybody, they've all said, oop, not us. They've washed their hands, turned their backs, and walked away. So it may be a bit longer until Parler comes back. The same thing happened to Gab about 3 years ago when big tech sought to erase Gab to make them non-existent. Andrew Torba, the head guy at Gab, the founder of Gab, said, oh yeah? And he built his own server farm. He built his own networks. He built his own web hosting. He built his own apps. He built his own social networking system. He built his own browsers. He just built everything on his own. And he's there. He can't even take credit cards because they were so effective in demonizing him, lying about his service, that even the banks wouldn't let people process money through them to pay for membership or to donate to his cause. Did that just send a chill up your spine? That's how deep these people want to go. They want to erase their opponents from society. They're willing to do anything and everything to make that happen, even breaking the law. Doesn't matter to them. As long as they believe they're right, they will break the law to do what they think is right. Nancy Pelosi is a good example. She is, wow. I got to be honest with you, Nancy Pelosi is, well, she's just, she's an evil woman.
I'm announcing the House of Representatives moving forward with an official impeachment inquiry.
Again. She's going to try again today. And that's not all. Speaking of breaking the law, doing something unconstitutional, Pelosi's done something which really should land her in prison. Now, she and those on the left have been accusing President Donald Trump of fomenting an insurrection because of this protest on Capitol Hill. But Trump never called for violence or a riot. We've covered that. But these are the same people who, for 4 years, tried to take out and undermine the duly elected president of the United States through this false Russia collusion hoax story. These are the same people who rioted on Trump's inauguration day. They attacked and set fire to things in Washington, D.C. By the way, all those arrested in those attacks were ultimately released without any time for their actions. Did you know that? These are the same people who refused to go to his election. They called him illegitimate. They went to his inauguration. They said he was illegitimate. These are the same people who ignored attacks on federal buildings for the last several months because they were perpetrated by those on the left. They ignored over 700 law enforcement officers being injured and over 32 people being killed. These are the same people who celebrated the BLM radicals at their Democrat convention. Kamala Harris and 13 Biden staffers even donated and encouraged people to donate to a fund to bail rioters out of jail. They've spent 4 years fomenting an effort to take Trump out. They're everything they accuse Trump of being. They failed to take him out before, but even with just a few days left before inauguration, they're still trying. The New York Times ran a story about the actions of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi behind the scenes against the president. Talk about insurrection. She was essentially fomenting a coup and fomenting the military against the president, trying to remove him from the chain of command. There are laws against this. Here's how the New York Times reported it. In a phone call to the chairman, General Mark A. Milley, Ms. Pelosi appeared to be seeking to have the Pentagon leadership essentially remove Mr. Trump from his authority as the commander-in-chief. That could be accomplished by ignoring the president's orders or slowing them by questioning whether they were issued legally. General Milley appears to have made no commitments short of the cabinet invoking the 25th Amendment or removing Mr. Trump through impeachment in the House and conviction in the Senate. It's unconstitutional to defy legal orders from the commander in chief. Nancy Pelosi is a sociopath. She's a dangerous sociopath. She has sought to foment a military coup against the President of the United States. Nancy Pelosi should be in prison. It's the Daily Perspective.
This impeachment is a charade. Just 10 days after President Trump was inaugurated, the whistleblower's lawyer Mark Zaid wrote that the coup has started and impeachment will follow. That's right. The whistleblower's own lawyer wrote, the coup has started and impeachment will follow. They promised a coup, and now they're trying to carry it out. The Democrats are trying to overthrow President Trump, undo the 2016 election, and silence our voices. Don't let them.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
Yep. The coup has started. That was a while back. The coup has never stopped. They have been trying since he was elected to undermine him, to eliminate him. They've been trying to do damage to him. It's never stopped. And now that he has been defeated in a rigged election, they are trying as hard as they can to erase his potential for doing them any more damage. They're frightened. They're scared to death of Donald Trump. As I wrote on social media over the weekend, they are frightened. They're scared of him because he knows things. He knows things about them. He has the power to declassify documents which could destroy them. And he should. He should. Because, as I've been saying for years, Washington, D.C. is populated by criminals. People who ignore the Constitution because it's inconvenient. People who ignore the law because it gets in the way of what they know is right and must be done. Because they are intellectually and morally superior. And they know better. He should expose them for who they are and what they are. Will he? I don't know. I hope he does. Jonathan Turley, professor at George Washington University of Law, the law school there, self-described liberal, over the weekend warned, Democrats would damage the Constitution if they impeached President Donald Trump over the deadly riots at the U.S. Capitol last week. After the riots, Democrats and many Republicans placed blame for the violence on Trump. Now Democrats are pushing an expedited effort to impeach Trump for a second time. In fact, according to the Washington Examiner, 180 House Democrats support impeaching Trump for willfully inciting violence, their words. Indeed, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said Friday that if Trump doesn't resign, the House will immediately begin impeachment proceedings against him. She has said over the weekend they're going to do that today. However, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell indicated in a memo circulated among Senate Republicans that even if the House does impeach Trump, the Senate will not have time to hold an adequate trial prior to President-elect Joe Biden's inauguration on January 20th. According to the constitutional law professor, Democrats will gut the Constitution's free speech protections and its impeachment standard if they move to impeach Trump over last week's violence. In The Hill, Turley explained in an essay, the author Franz Kafka once wrote, my guiding principle is this, guilt is never to be doubted. Democrats suddenly appear close to adopting that standard into the Constitution as they prepare for a second impeachment of President Trump. With seeking his removal for incitement, Democrats would gut not only the impeachment standard, but also free speech. all in a mad rush to remove Trump just days before his term ends. Democrats are seeking to remove Trump on the basis of his remarks to supporters before the rioting at the Capitol. Like others, I condemned those remarks as he gave them, calling them reckless and wrong. I also opposed the challenges to electoral votes in Congress. But his address doesn't meet the definition of incitement under the criminal code. It would be viewed as protected speech by the Supreme Court. Not only did Turley write that Democrats are now seeking an impeachment for remarks covered by the First Amendment, he explained many Democrats are guilty of the exact same accusations they're throwing at Trump. Quote, Democrats are pushing this dangerously vague standard while objecting to their own remarks given new meaning from critics. Conservatives have pointed to Maxine Waters, asking her supporters to confront Republicans in restaurants, while Ayanna Pressley insisted amidst the violent marches last year that, quote, there needs to be unrest in the streets. And Kamala Harris said protesters should not let up, even as some of those marches turned violent. They can legitimately argue their rhetoric was not meant to be a call for violence, but this standard is filled with subjectivity. He went on to say the damage caused by the U.S. Capitol riots will pale in comparison to the damage that moving forward with impeachment will do to the Constitution. He says, the damage caused by the rioters this week was enormous. However, it will pale in comparison to the damage from a new precedent of a snap impeachment for speech protected under the First Amendment. It is the very threat that the framers sought to avoid in crafting the impeachment standard. In a process of deliberative judgment, the reference to a snap impeachment is a contradiction. In this new system, guilt is not doubted and innocence is not deliberated. This would do the Constitution what the violent rioters did, would do to the Constitution what the violent rioters did to the Capitol, and leave it in tatters. Jonathan Turley is correct. He's right about this. I disagree with his assessment that Trump inspired them, but because, and I doubt this, I must explain, because of everything I have read over the last few days. Some of it being that this was planned well before he made his speech. There were people milling about in the crowd, encouraging people to join them in an attack on the Capitol building. That there was a lot of planning going on, not on Parler, but on Facebook, among people in groups who were planning to march on the Capitol. It wasn't President Trump's words that inspired these people. These people intended to do this well before he spoke. So, no, he's wrong about that. But the Democrats don't care about the Constitution. Can you point to any actual instance or evidence that they do? I doubt you can. Because, as Barack Obama said, the Constitution was inconvenient. It was a document of negatives. And thank God for that. Because it says repeatedly that Congress shall not, about many things. Because the framers of the Constitution understood that politicians, once they got a taste of power and authority, had to be reined in. And the Constitution is there to protect us from them. They don't care about the Constitution. They will tell you whatever they're doing is constitutional and whatever their opponents are doing is unconstitutional, because they're counting on you being ignorant of what the Constitution says and what the framers intended in crafting it, which is why it's so important to learn it. It's there. You can find courses online. Hilldale College has got a great lineup of stuff that you can study about the Constitution, and I encourage you to do so. Learn how they argued about what would be in this document and why. Learn how they disagreed but came to decisions a valuable compromise. Learn that the reason we were founded the way we were founded and the document was crafted the way it was crafted is because these people knew what politicians would do with power, and that the people must govern, and the people must be protected from those who would put themselves in power over them. It's extremely important. The Democrats don't care about the law, the Constitution. The only time a Democrat cares about the law is when a Democrat is promising to pass new laws to correct a problem. A problem which exists because the existing laws are ignored. As if new laws wouldn't be ignored. The Constitution is there as a wall of protection between tyrants and the people. And the people need that protection. If you don't think so, just look at what Nancy Pelosi, this dangerous sociopath, is trying to do right now with the blessing of 180 Democrats in Congress. I posted on social media this morning a meme that somebody else had posted. I just shared it along. It says there are two kinds of people in the world right now. One, people who are celebrating their political opponents getting purged from social media right now. And two, people who studied history. And this is why I bring up Pharaoh Akhenaten, why I bring up Abraham Lincoln and the war with Mexico. People who study history know how things go, can predict the way things are going to go and how things are going to happen from knowing how it happened before. Remember that old saying, those who do not study their history are doomed to repeat it. We need to learn the lessons of history today and not allow fascists like Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and the Democrat Party, the squad, these people who would rule over us rather than be us in Washington, D.C., must be stopped. If they are not stopped, then we have lost our country. Right now, it's extremely important for us to focus on the next 2 years. We have to pay close attention to what happens in Washington, D.C. over the next 2 years. If we do not, and we do not hold people's feet to the fire, then we will lose this country. There are those who are saying that in the next couple of years, as we move towards another election to replace people in the House and the Senate, we must hold their feet to the fire to prevent this country from going down the tubes. We must. So pay close attention. Find people to replace those who are failing you. Sliding into this final segment for this Monday, the 11th day of January, 2021. It's the Daily Perspective Podcast. Even though Mr. Peabody has prevented me from using the Wayback Machine, I can still look at things through the lens of history. It doesn't seem to matter how much I apologize, he still won't let me have the keys. Chris Enloe over at The Blaze writes, two Republican senators are responding after President-elect Joe Biden allegedly compared them to infamous Nazi propaganda leader Joseph Goebbels. Welcome back to history, kids. Responding to a question from a reporter Friday, Biden claimed that Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, the Republican, and Senator Josh Hawley, the Republican from Missouri, are part of the big lie. Both senators led efforts to oppose the certification of Biden's Electoral College victory, which their critics have claimed make them at least partially culpable for the U.S. Capitol riots. You see, anybody who opposed Joe Biden is now to blame for anything that goes wrong. Just get used to it. Biden invoking the big lie is a reference to Goebbels, the propaganda minister of Nazi Germany, and his method of repeating a massive lie to manipulate the public into believing the falsehood is true. Biden said of Ted Cruz and Hawley, "I think they should just be flat beat the next time they run. I think the American public has a real good clear look at who they are. They're part of the big lie. The big lie. You know, Goebbels and the great lie. You keep repeating the lie, repeating the lie." Later, Biden added, "The degree to which it becomes corrosive is in direct proportion to the number of people who say it. And so it's interesting to me, and I was pleased to hear some more prominent Republicans say to me, that Ted Cruz's of the world are as responsible in terms of people believing the lies as not as responsible, but similar responsible, like Trump." What? Biden has previously compared President Donald Trump to Goebbels, saying he's sort of like Goebbels. He said this back in September. "You say the lie long enough, keep repeating it, repeating it, repeating it. It becomes common knowledge." Hawley called Biden's remarks utterly shameful and undignified, immature, and intemperate. In a statement, Josh Hawley says, "President-elect Biden has just compared me and another Republican senator to Nazis." You read that correctly. Think about that for a moment. Let that sink in. "Because I raised questions in the format prescribed by the laws of the United States about the way elections were conducted in the state of Pennsylvania, just as Democrats did about other states in 2001, 2005, and 2017, he is calling me a Nazi. This is undignified, immature, and intemperate behavior from the president-elect. It is utterly shameful. He should act like a dignified adult and retract these sick comments. And every Democrat member of Congress should be asked to disavow these disgusting comments." Meanwhile, Cruz said that Biden's comments only serve to further divide America, not promote healing or unity. He tweeted, "Really sad, at a time of deep national division, President-elect Biden's choice to call his political opponents literal Nazis does nothing to bring us together or promote healing. This kind of vicious partisan rhetoric only tears our country apart." And isn't it interesting that Joe Biden and his minions are all talking about healing? It's time to come together. It's time to heal and move forward. And then they say things like this. It's time for another history lesson, class. Joseph Goebbels, the propaganda minister for the Nazis, didn't come up with the methods he used. They weren't his. He studied others and learned how effective it was to drop a lie and then come back and refer to the lie and then state the lie as a fact and then have everybody in your political realm reinforce the lie as fact to continue telling the lie about those who oppose you and about what they propose to do or what they've done in the past. It doesn't matter whether it's people or programs or policies, laws, behavior, you lie. And you stand by the lie. You stand firm by the lie. You repeat the lie as fact, and you never waver from the lie. Example in recent history? Fine people. The fine people lie. They are still, Joe Biden is still repeating the fine people lie, even though it's been debunked on both sides of the aisle. and on both sides of political thought in the media, he still repeats it as though it's fact, even though it's been proven again and again it's not. And there are a lot of people who believe it's true just because Joe Biden and people like him keep repeating the lie. Guess where Joseph Goebbels learned this process? He learned it here in the United States of America. He learned it from the progressive politicians in the United States back then. He learned how progressives would float a lie and stand by the lie and repeat the lie and never question the lie and make the lie the truth in the minds of those who trusted them. Joseph Goebbels learned propaganda from the progressives. Joe Biden and those around him are the people Joseph Goebbels learned his Nazism from. Well, not specifically them, but their predecessors. So when Joe Biden starts calling people Nazis, he's doing what is classically called in psychology as projection. When he's referring to people as propaganda ministers repeating the big lie, he's just saying what they do and applying it to other people, knowing that low information, uninformed people will just believe him. Well, he's been vice president. He's been a senator for all these years. He's been in government. He's been in Washington, D.C. He's been serving the country for all these years. He wouldn't lie. Really? There's an old saying, and I encourage you to take it to heart today. That saying is, there's no fool like an old fool. Learn today what is true and what is not. Learn to recognize truth from lies. Learn to recognize the truth. You start that by being honest with yourself and being honest about life around you. And when you begin to practice honesty, you recognize dishonesty. You recognize truth. It's like I've told you before, back when my wife was training to be a bank teller, long, long years ago, when our little one was just a toddler. The way she learned to recognize counterfeit money was by learning to recognize real money. They don't train them how to recognize counterfeits. They make them intimately aware of real money. So learn truth. Learn to be honest. You'll learn to recognize when other people are being honest. And once you've accomplished that, once you begin to recognize honesty for what it is, you'll recognize dishonesty too. It just comes with the territory. And very quickly, you'll recognize the fact that people like Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, all of these people on the left are being dishonest. And not just a little dishonest. They're being incredibly dishonest. So I encourage you, begin to practice honesty in your own life. Don't deceive yourself. When you stop deceiving yourself, you'll start realizing how many people are also trying to deceive you. And Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and the rest, they're all really, really, really good at what they do. Liar. Yep, they're all liars. Liar. Liar. It's how they've gotten where they are. Liar. It's how they practice every day. And when somebody like Joe Biden calls Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley propagandists and Nazis, he's lying. And he knows he's lying. He's a liar, and he doesn't care. Joe Biden has been a liar for a long, long time. It's a habit he formed early in his career. He's also the thief of other people's work. He's a plagiarist. He lied about how his first wife died. He's lied about his education. He's lied about practically everything that matters in his life. He and those surrounding him are all the real propagandists. They are the ones not only telling the big lie, they're living the big lie. So it's important for you and I to learn how to recognize it. Hey, that's it for today. God bless you. Have a good one. Let's get back together again tomorrow for the next edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.